what you're telling us, Nick, you had like 8 hours all weekend of sleep, right? Okay. Our scripture reading tonight comes from Psalms 130, Hoping and Waiting for the Lord, a song of degree. Out of the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Thine ears be attended in the voice of my supplements. If thy Lord should mark inquest, O Lord, who shall stand? But thou forgiveness with thee, that thou makest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. In my word I do hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they watch for the morning. I say, more thee that they watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with his plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
I got in trouble this morning. I didn't know there was any such thing. There was a song, there's no such thing as too much money. I didn't think there's no such thing as too short a sermon. But there is. I'm not going to call your name. I know you're nervous, think I'm fixing to. But I got in trouble on the way out. Miss K, Nick is such a asset to this congregation. He gets up and brags on everybody but himself. And we're blessed. I know y'all know it more than I do, but Nick is genuine. He cares. He'll laugh with you. He'll cry with you. He'll hold you up. He might shove me down from time to time. But he is a dear friend, and I know that he cares about all of our young people. And you young people, y'all are blessed to have someone like him to, A, stand for the truth. And I know that Nick will not waver from the truth. And then to have the heart that he has, that he will stand with you and help you in any way that he can. And I appreciate you and I love you for everything that you do. We all want the best. We all want the best. None of us sets out in life and says, I want to be second best. When we play a sport, we don't play to come in second. We don't play to lose. We play to win. It rubs off on us. The further we go in life, the more we desire to have the best. And I think we all, if not almost everyone, wants to do our best. We want to look our best. We want to have the best car, the best house, the best job, the best of everything. We have to be careful when we're looking at our life and striving to be the best. There's nothing wrong with doing your best, and it's not anything wrong with being good, but it's how we get there that's going to be the problem. In the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 11 and 12, there we find the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. Verse 12 says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. James 4 and verse 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There was an older Scottish Christian man who loved his only son very, very much. He kept his son close to him the whole time that he was growing up. He taught him the Bible. He carried him to Bible study, carried him to church, vacation Bible school, whatever it may be. He focused all his energy on his son. He wanted his son to be the very, very best. Sent his son to school. When he got home from school, his daddy would help him with his lessons. made sure that his son was very, very smart. Outwardly, the young man was well-mannered. He was well-educated. He was well-respected by everyone the whole time he was growing up, until he left home. When this young man left home, it was a whole different person. Once he was away from his father's guidance, he turned against his upbringing. He went out and he began to live life as he wanted to live it. Now don't forget, as I'm telling this story, he started off in life being taught everything that he should have been taught. A daddy who loved him was very, very strict on him and pushed him to do the right thing and to excel in everything that he could. But he indulged in every and all kind of excess. The story says he was sowing his wild oats. But one day he was arrested. And he was arrested for embezzlement. At the trial, the story says he was found guilty. All through the proceedings and up to and through the jury foreman's reading of the verdict, the young man appeared essentially unconcerned. He seemed arrogant that no one was going to humiliate him in public. He was proud. When the verdict was brought in and the judge told the young man to stand for the sentence, he stood arrogantly. Says, still looking cocky and proud. The young man looked around the courtroom, and that's when he saw his dad. His dad, whom he had not seen in several years. Because when the judge asked the young man to stand for his sentence to hear the verdict, the old man, who used to stood tall, head above everyone else, as Monty says, keep your chin up, stood tall, proud, because he was proud of his son. This older man made his way up to the front of the courtroom with his head down. When the younger man looked at his dad, he saw a man who had once stood with head and shoulders erect. Now those shoulders were bowed low with sorrow and shame as he stood to receive, as though it were he himself, not his son, getting the sentence from the judge. At the sight of his father, the story says, at the sight of his father, bent and humiliated because of the disgraceful conduct, the son finally began to weep. He wept bitterly for the first time, and he repented of his crime. I read that story, and I thought, probably goes a long way in this world we live in today. In a sense that we're taught and we're brought up a certain way, we know what the truth is. We stress, especially in the church, we stress the need to study and to know the scriptures. And we put this in our heart, we put this in our mind, and we teach our children, hold on to this all the days of your life. And this young man, when he got away from dad, he shut his book and he walked away from it. But he was reminded in life when he saw how hurt his parents really was of the person he had turned out. And you can't help but think, for us as Christians, we turn that to not maybe our mother or daddy, but we turn that to Christ. It happens to us when we get out and we know the truth. We've been taught the truth and we stand where the truth is and we've stood strong for year after year after year. Then we find ourselves maybe not where we need to be or where we should be. And we turn around and we look, and just for a minute, if you will with me, picture Jesus looking at us. Picture Jesus looking at us tonight, knowing that we were taught and we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, and yet we've turned our back on our Savior. And maybe he's got his head bowed low for us tonight, not near as proud as he once was where we stood. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Let's read verses 3 through 8 together. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, and then we'll close here in just a minute. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife, but let lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man at his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, we can want great things. We can want the best. There's nothing wrong with wanting the best. We need to be reminded, however, that we need to be humble in life. We need to be humble and not to think too great of ourselves. John Brody. He was a quarterback for the 49ers. He was number 12, and they retired his jersey. He played from 1957 to 1973. And he was asked why a million-dollar player like him should hold a ball for the field goals and extra points after the touchdown. "Well," said Brody, "if I didn't hold it, it would fall over." Brody didn't take the bait. He didn't take the bait, and he didn't think he was too good and too high paid of a player to get down on his knees, catch a ball, and hold it for someone to kick it. Maybe he wanted to win. Maybe he felt like he was the best man for the job, and with his sure hands, he could catch the ball, put the ball down for the kicker to make the points. We need people like that. We need people that will be humble servants. Humble servants and say, "I will get down on my knee and I will hold this for you to kick it, because I'm not too good for that." That's when we become our best. It's okay to be great, but we have to be humble. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Too many people today. I watched the presidential debate the other night. It would almost be funny if one of these people were not going to lead our country. It makes it where it's not funny. Because if you listen to them, each one of them is lifting themselves up and tearing down others, and thus debate. I understand, debate. But I sit there in amazement and I think to myself, somebody's lying. If two people are saying two different things and they both just promising, right, this is the way, it's facts, right, somebody's lying. And they stand there so proud with their head up high, bragging on themselves. We need humble servants, realizing that we're going to have to get dirty and do some work. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, won't you become a child of God tonight? Humble yourself tonight to the gospel, the good news, through faith, through repentance, through confession. Tonight you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here and you've been unfaithful to God and you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Our prayer is that you will do that. But at the very least, let's all look at ourselves and see how we can serve. and serve with pride and not think that we're too good to just simply be a servant. Won't you come while we stand and sing?